This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you from FEMA Region 5 in the new media production studio designed by Audimute.com in Coldwater, Michigan. The lead stories are Artificial Intelligence Powered News Anchor. Mac OS Big Sur is bricking some older MacBooks. PC versus Mac. And for those of you that are Harley Davidson fans, well, I don't know if some of you are going to be buying this new bike. We'll talk about that in the show tonight. I want to welcome you to episode 1488 of the Geek News Central podcast for Monday, November 16th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. You can support this show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider. If you're a brand new listener, welcome to the show. Thanks for being here. Thanks for checking the podcast out. We want to make sure that you really get engaged with us. And all you got to do is go over to geeknewscentral.com. When you're on the website, you're going to find some icons to subscribe to the podcast. You're going to find a newsletter link. Get connected with that. That way you'll never miss a single episode. The newsletter is strictly an email to you that talks about, well, gives you the show notes, everything that's in the blog post on the website. That way you have a permanent record of it. So make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com and get subscribed to the show. You can also join our chat room on our Mastodon chat server at geeknews.chat or on Discord. We've got a Discord channel. Those links are in the show notes. If you want to be part of our Slack family, you can do that as well by contacting me via email, geeknews@gmail.com, or on Twitter @geeknews. That's a great way to stay connected here with the show. And that way you just basically can provide your feedback. Yeah, I kind of lost my place there. Hey, you can follow me on Facebook. Of course, all the partner shows are linked at geeknewscentral.com. And this show is sponsored by the longest running continuous sponsor of a podcast. That's our good friends over at GoDaddy. You can save a lot of money by using my GoDaddy promo codes. They're all there. Whether it be 30% off a new product purchase, $499.com on newer transfer domains for new customers, or $1 a month economy hosting for the first year, $12 gets you going. Includes a free domain name, $1 a month managed WordPress hosting. That's another offer for the first year again. Again, with a free domain name, $12. $12 gets you started, gets you online, gets you connected. There's no other deal like it in the space. Absolutely not. We want you to take time to go ahead and check that out. Really, really do. We want you to go check these deals out. Again, all you got to do is go over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. All right. So what have I got going on here? Well, a lot. A lot. But what's interesting was this weekend was about the most easy weekend that I've done in years. I did the new media show Saturday afternoon. It started getting cold and colder, wet and raining. And I went back to the house, back to the loft. And basically, that's where I vegged for about the next 30 hours. Sunday, I did absolutely nothing. Now, some of you will say, what do you mean? It was the first day of deer season, Todd. When I woke up on Sunday morning, it was raining. The wind was blowing. I said, forget it. My brother-in-law and his two boys, they went out. They saw a bunch of small does. Came back empty-handed, but I was like, forget it. I am not going out in the rain. If I was 25, you know, I'd have been right out there in the thick of it. When I went to lunch today, I saw the back of a pickup truck. I had a nice buck on the back of his pickup truck, but I just, you know, I'm just not motivated, and it's cold. It's really, really cold, and plus when it's raining like that, the deer are hunkered down too. They don't want to move. They don't want to get up and move around. So you almost have to kind of push them a little bit. But that, you know, was not my idea of being able to go out. So I was YouTube, Netflix, all day Sunday. I ate a frozen pizza. Really, I mean, serious. It was, you know, whatever. It wasn't that, wasn't that appealing. But anyway, that's where I'm at. Okay. Someone's texting me right now. It's the night of distractions here. And let me send him a text. Okay. We'll do after the show. Someone wants me to test something on our end. Okay, let me close that. Oh, I need it for the conspiracy theory. I've been slacking. The conspiracy team has been providing me some conspiracies, but I didn't read any of them. So here's one of the conspiracy theories. And Mr. Fixer, I apologize. I've been late doing this for you. And again, if you're watching via Facebook, make sure you say hello. People have been, here's the conspiracy theory number one. People have been mowing their lawns earlier and early in retaliation for those who mow their lawns too early. I guess I don't understand that. Flat earthers only make their claim so some rich people will finance their flight into space to prove them wrong. And finally, the U.S. dollar is being replaced by the U.S. note, backed by precious metals and currencies, will be traded digitally with XLM digital currency within the U.S., and XRP will be the digital currency for cross-border transactions, phasing out the SWIFT system. Well, you know, there has been some talks about going to some sort of digital currency. That has been a discussion point. It definitely is a conspiracy. I don't know if it's that exact one, but there has been, you know, this discussion point of going completely digital, and the Federal Reserve having a, not necessarily a Bitcoin, but a digital coin. And one of the team members in that channel says, what about the notes themselves? They can track everyone through the metal strips that they claim are anti-forgery, but really are highly sensitive RFID strips that are picked up whenever you go into stores through x-ray machines or visit any government building. Is that true? There's RFID chips and notes right now? Okay. Well, that's what the conspiracy team come up with. What say you? All right. So I will pay attention, conspiracy writing team, to make sure that I get these covered. But anyway, let's go ahead and get into the stack of stuff today before I get distracted anymore. That's what happens when I start the show and all of a sudden I have two people texting me, one person hit me up on Slack, and not having the right windows open to begin with. Now, I don't know if I can do this without getting a copyright violation. We're going to try. So this, for those of you that are watching, and let me turn the volume down so you can't hear it. And yes, I upgraded three computers to Big Sur and had no problem. But anyway, on the screen, and we're only going to play a short clip of this, okay? And again, the volume is down because I don't want this to play. But we've got this Korean news anchor. She's making some discussions. And then digitally on the screen, and I'm just going to stop this here for those that are watching, is an avatar, an AI avatar of her own likeness. She spent about 10 hours working with the programmers to build a profile of herself, and she reads the news story and asks the AI questions, and the AI responds using her mannerisms, her gestures. And according to the sub information I got on this article, is the newscaster was quite unnerved about this because it really acted like her. So if you look at it, you really can't tell, other than at least where I stopped the frame, the AI has, it doesn't look, I'm just playing, it doesn't look that that different, you know, from her, and maybe a little stuffy, holding her hands. And for those of you listening to the show, you know, Asian broadcasters have always been quite stoic. If you've ever watched Japanese or Korean television or news, they're very stoic. You know, there's not a lot of emotion per se. So for the Korean news market and the Japanese market, they can probably get away with this because, again, it's just their mannerisms isn't, you know, they don't laugh about stuff. It's all business, you know. Only when you get an American or foreigner in there does it get mixed up a little bit. But here's where we're headed. If they've done this with the, and of course, I didn't hear the English response. We can only go based upon what the article says here. It makes you go, just a little bit. Because at some point in the near future, newscasters are going to be replaced as well. And there's just going to be an AI completely programmed. This is scary. This is very, very, very odd. And you look at the robot and you look at the AI and you look at the woman that they did the modeling over from the AI standpoint. You can tell texture wise, makeup wise, you know, there's flaws in the live newscaster, whereas the AI, perfect skin, perfect makeup, perfect shadowing, perfect lighting, you know, the whole nine yards, perfect mannerism, standing up, not slouching. So how long before we start getting our news from artificial intelligence? Probably based on everything that's been going on here in America, it might be better. It might be better. Who knows? But I encourage all of you that are listening to the show to go look at this video. I'll have the link up. It's on ubergizmo.com. Go look at this video and read the article and let me know what you think here. So, you know, here's my thought. All right. If I have to stand 12, 18, 24 hours, go through multiple sessions for a AI to learn me. And then when I need a vacation day, I just use the AI here. Well, first of all, I probably wouldn't be able to get away with it because the AI probably won't make any mistakes. It won't pronounce words wrong. It won't have a distraction. It won't be as natural. But, interesting, right? We'll have artificial intelligence podcasters before it's all over. Do you have a late model, and I shouldn't say late model, a 2013 or 2014 MacBook Pro? Well, I know my CFO, Barry Kantz, who's down in Florida, he's got I don't know what year MacBook Pro he has, but he tried to upgrade his on yesterday, and it bricked it. He spent 13 hours on the phone with Apple support, and we were getting a play-by-play. In our Slack channel, he was pissed and just about had enough. But a large number of 2013 and mid-2014 13-inch MacBook Pro owners reporting that the Mac OS Big Sur update is breaking their machines. And Mac Rumors forum thread contains a significant number of users reporting the issue. And similar problems are being reported across Reddit and the Apple support community, suggesting the problem is widespread. Users report that during the course of updating the Mac OS, their machines are stuck displaying a black screen. Key reset combinations, including NVRAM, SMC, safe mode, and internet recovery are all reportedly inaccessible after attempting to install the update, leaving no way to bypass the static black screen. Again, the overwhelming number of users experienced some problems with owners of late 2013 and mid-2014 13-inch MacBook Pros. One commenter on Reddit said they were told by Apple support to book their MacBook Pro in for a repair. Another on an Apple support thread said that the issue has been escalated to Apple's engineering team, so Apple should now be aware of the problem. So if you have a 13-inch 2013-2014 MacBook Pro, do not install MacBook OS. These two machines back here and the machine on the bottom is a Mac Mini. It's pretty, what is the age of this thing? Let me look. Yeah, the Mac Mini on the bottom is a late 2014 model. And I was debating on whether or not to update it anyway. And they haven't said there's issues with the Mac Mini, but I have not had any trouble on the MacBook Pro, the iMac, and the Mac, and the trash can, the Mac, not MacBook, but the Mac, and or the Mac Pro. So I'll probably update the one on top and leave the one on the bottom, but it's already complaining to me that I need to update it. But, you know, it just ain't like anything else with Apple. The longer you go, the slower it runs. That machine on the bottom used to be super fast. All it does is run Skype and a couple of things that I have going on there. And it's still, you know, and it shouldn't be. It's, you know, it's that's its only job in life is to run Skype. You shouldn't have to do an upgrade on a computer. But it's, you know, some point that I upgraded the top machine because the one that was in there was even older. And so that one on top, you know, it boots, boom, it's booted up. This one, like, you know, 3 minutes later, it comes alive. But anyway, so just be careful out there. Gary, how you doing? Thank you so much for being here. You know, Michigan is going back into lockdown. Well, a modified lockdown. The governor, and it's, you know, I understand. I understand the COVID cases are on the increase. I understand people are getting sick. I understand people are hospitalized. But we did this once before. And it was more draconian. It was more extreme. And I think that's what's coming. But they closed all schools. As of Wednesday, all colleges will not be able to do in-class. So my sister's scrambling. She's got to go get her daughter. Who's in college at Hope, and all the kids that were splitting their time are now all going to be at the house, and internet sucks at the house. They don't know how they're going to have everyone home again, going to school, and this is going on for 3 weeks. All bars are closed again. All restaurants are closed for in seating. We are only at like 25% capacity already. So my big complaint is why you're going to allow Walmart, Myers, all other businesses are going to be able to remain open. All stores, everywhere, except for bars and restaurants. Restaurants, again, have been doing social distancing. You can't be closer than 6 feet. Coming with a group, you're limited to the number of people they can sit at a table. You have to be so far away. There's no wandering around. They don't let you wander around. There's no mingling. None of that's going on. If you get up from your table, you have to put a mask on. These are all things that are already in place here. And they've already said the place where people are getting COVID, the number one pickup place, is in the homes. And I'm at a point where why are we going to punish two industries? You can say what you want about the schools. By the way, K through 8, kindergarten through 8th grade still goes to school. Only 9th grade and above comes home. So it's the high schoolers they're bringing home. K through 8 stay in class. Why? Why? What's the difference between K through 8 home and 9 through 12? I don't get it. So I was up in Lansing on Friday. I was having lunch at a sports bar. It was dead. No one was in there. There was three people at this big bar that could set 50. I was one of them. There was probably five tables with anybody sitting at them. And I got talking with the bartender, and she's at her wit's end. She goes, listen, up until a couple of weeks ago, we're on the, things were starting to look better. Then all of a sudden, they put the fear of God in everybody. And she says, we have no business. And she said, I don't know what I'm going to do. She says, I'm going to probably be, you know, I just don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to feed my family. Single mom. And we have protocols in place in this state to protect the workers, to allow people to come in and eat, have the right distancing protocols, no mingling and partying. The bars are the same way. There's no sitting at bars and bars. There's only, you sit at a table with somebody you know that you walked in with, or you have to be 6 feet away from anybody else in the bars. So the bars have got capacity issues. So they've been running on limited capacity. So they're shutting them down as well. I think it's unfair. I say, if you're going to force a shutdown and use some logic that restaurants and bars seem to be the, you can still go to the gym and a whole bunch of other things, but they're going to punish these two industries. I don't agree with it at all. I really, really don't. And yes, wear your mask, social distance. You protect you. I protect me. I wear a mask when I go out. I'm careful. But I just don't understand it. So yeah, big changes here in Michigan. So anyway, it's the way it's going to be, I guess. But the governor used, she can't do executive orders anymore. So she's using the health department to set the rules. All right. So it's been a while. I'll get off this topic. Sorry. It bugs me. And again, stay safe. I'm not saying not to be safe. I'm not saying not to wear masks. None of that. I just think it's wholesale unfair to these business people. And they have no plan to help the workers. None. Zero. And so they'll all be laid off and getting, what, 1/10 of their earnings that they, half of it isn't reported anyway because of the way bartending and waitressing works or servers work. So they get screwed, doubly screwed. All right, PC versus Mac. We haven't heard this in a while, right? Which should you buy? And this is coming from PC World. So I thought, how's this slanted? And of course, it does start off kind of as a little bit of a PC. But it says, after a 15-year hiatus, the Cold War between PC and Mac begin anew when Apple unveiled two Mac laptops using its ARM-based M1 chip instead of an Intel x86. The Mac is therefore no longer a PC. Okay. As classically defined by tracing lineage from the IBM PC 5150 running DOS and its derivative OSs, the new MacBook computers you use personally, the new MacBooks are computers you use personally. They are not personal computers. I think they're splitting hairs there a little bit. Is that just semantics or does it really matter? Before you click that buy now button, PC World's going to help you understand just what you're getting into if you choose a Mac over a traditional PC. So it talks about why you should buy a PC laptop. Touch and pen support. Do you use a pen with your MacBook or with your PC? I don't think a lot of people use pens, and I don't think a lot of people touch screens. Maybe they do. I just don't think they do. And if you do, a PC is definitely the way to go. Of course, PCs come in a wide variety of shapes and size, clamshell laptops, 360-degree hinges, you name it. Convertible laptops are all by design in PC. And of course, that cool facial recognition feature, that's a Windows PC thing, but you use your finger or whatever to unlock your Mac. Facial recognition, I'll tell you, between Android and iPhone wins hands down. The facial recognition, hands down, they win by many magnitudes. And of course, one of the coolest features of the PC, a freedom of choice. If you don't want Intel, you can run AMD. If you don't like NVIDIA, you can run Intel. If you don't like Windows, you can run Linux. Want a 15.6-inch screen? Want a 16.9-inch screen? Or want a 13x4-inch or 16x10 panel? Want your chassis in white, blue, black, silver, or pink? The PC has it. So yes, if you actually want to be different, rather than pretend to think different, oh, that's a little sign, a little slam. A PC laptop is a good choice. Don't believe the people who say Mac is a better Windows Windows laptop. Yeah, kind of is at this point. To be, in my opinion, it's a better desktop. It's a better desktop experience, at least in my limited opinion, based upon running Windows machines here and other places. Now, you're going to get more value out of a PC for sure. But they go on to say why you should buy a MacBook instead of a Windows. The sign of not being a hater is to be open-minded to all views, even if you would never consider the other side as an actual option. So let's be fair about what MacBooks bring to the table. Well, they think Apple overstepped by saying the MacBook Air is faster than 98% of Windows laptops. But he does say the ARM-based 5-nanometer M1 chip is worthy of respect. And you want to look cool, of course, if you're a Mac user. If you like getting help in person, the Apple has its strength and support. You can go to the Genius Bar or whatever it's called now. And you want better resell, you know. But most Mac users run them until they fall on the ground or they hand them down to their kids just like people do with PCs. So this PC World article is pretty slanted to the Windows side. So I think whatever makes you happy at this point. Gary, yes, the writer is trying to pick a fight because he started right off by saying this is a 15-year hiatus. The Cold War between PC and Mac begin anew. So we've been talking about this on this show for a long, long time. And I quite blown people away a few years ago when I made the switch primarily from a PC being my primary machine to a Mac being my primary machine. Even, you know, again, PC's a PC in my opinion, but I have, you know, again, video editing. I don't do picture editing. I resize images. That's, you know, basic on any operating system. I use a lot of web-based stuff. That's easy to use on all operating systems. For me, it's really been about, knock on wood here, or for Mike or whatever this fake wood. Let me knock over here. Is this some real wood over here? Is that I've had less trouble until I have trouble. All right. Harley Davidson writers. I'm sorry. I really am. Harley Davidson has come out with a e-bike. Yes, an e-bike. And they're up for pre-order. These are bicycles. Not motorcycles, with batteries and an electric motor. And get this, they start at $3,399. Holy cow. So in late October, Harley-Davidson showed off the Serial One, its first e-bike that was set to arrive March of next year. And there are four models called the Mosh City, the Rush City, the Rush City Step Through, and the Rush City Speed. And they spell city with C-T-Y. And so anyway, it's takes about 5 hours to recharge it. Got a pretty good range, 35 to 105 miles. I actually saw a YouTube video of some people riding some real little itty mini electric bikes that, as I observed them, I said there was no way they would go very far. And they were riding these things like 23, 24 miles all on electric. I was pretty shocked that they went that far, to be quite honest with you. I don't know what the name of them are. I don't know how expensive they're, but I was actually pretty shocked that they went that far. But anyway, so if you want to be cool and have a Harley Davidson and you want to, you know, go riding, hey, you can get in cheap. $33.99 is the starting price of the new Harley Davidson Serial One e-bikes. And I know some of you who have Harley Davidsons are rolling your eyes. Probably you're willing to just drive over one of these things. But, you know, if you get someone started on a Harley Davidson early, even if it's a e-bike, maybe they'll graduate into a real motorcycle at some point in the future. I for one, have always said that if I got a motorcycle, it probably would not end well. It's better for me to have four wheels under me than two. Just because the need for speed would definitely probably be the end of me. maybe a little older, I could handle it, but really never had a desire to have a Harley. Not at all. Zeotap. This is an interesting one. I almost brought this to the forefront. I've never heard of this company before. Zeotap raises $18.5 million for a customer ID platform it says was built with privacy in mind. Now, we know that cookies are going away. As the online world slowly moves to a more privacy-focused environment free of cookies, startups are building alternative ways that businesses manage customer identity. And we're not talking about identity by logging in, by identity when they come to your website. And they build marketing around that they're getting attention. Zeotap, a customer identity platform built around a company's own data that combines this with other data sources to create a more complete picture of users and what they do, is announcing this raise an additional $18.5 million. This is on top of the other 42 some million that they raised. So they've got up 60.5 million now. And what they're really trying to do here is figure out how to track us, yes, us consumers, after cookies go away. So they're going to have something to track us. They're not going to let us get away from them at all. So just goes to show you that there's money out there being spent like crazy, because companies are going to track wherever you go, just like they do on Amazon, to know what to sell to you and what to put in front of you when you're on your computers or tablets or on your mobile devices. It's being announced that more image and video takedowns will be coming to Facebook and Instagram. The company is opening up its rights managers to all page admins. So if I put a video up on the Blueberry page and I sign rights to it, if someone reshares that without our permission, then I can initiate a copyright takedown on that content. Or if they're trying to monetize against it, I can actually be the one that gets the money. Now, when I put stuff up on social media, it's largely because I want it shared as much as possible. That's why I always tell you folks, as you're supporting GoDaddy, if you link to the GoDaddy promo, you know, to the geeknesscenter.com/GoDaddy, it always helps the show when you do that. If you link to it from Facebook, Twitter, your social media accounts, your websites, it helps us a lot. And so that said, you know, I want our content shared. Some people do not. And so we'll probably see more of this coming. So be careful what you share, because you could get a copyright violation strike. Google, and this is all over the web today. There are three or four articles that Kirk found. So I'm going to try to, he's got two or three of them that have different talking points, but it's all about the same thing. So you're going to find two or three links to this in the show notes tonight. But Google's new changes bring centralized privacy controls to Gmail, chat, and Google Meet. You know, Google's reputation for privacy is not really that good, but these new settings will provide clear explanations what it's using our data for when you enable these smart features and let you easily disable. Now, what's a smart feature? Have you written a Gmail recently and it's finished a sentence for you? That's a smart feature. You can turn that off now. Now, I find it quite handy because it saves me typing every day. It's something I was going to write anyway, so it's a feature I like, but you are giving up privacy when you do that. So anyway, this is they're trying to solidify that, or to have it under one place to make those choices. So just be aware that Google says the new change is informed by consumer research and conversations with regulators. Yes, regulatory agencies regarding data privacy. And we've got an article that was on Geek News Central that was written that talks about the Mac OS privacy. So there's been some concerns there. And The Verge reported that many Mac users had trouble opening apps after installing the update. And there was an extremely detailed blog post by Jeffrey Paul titled "Your Computer Isn't Yours," in which he discussed a security problem involving the Mac OS. And also, it appears that iPhone in Canada was the first report that updated support document titled "Safely Open Apps on Your Mac." So basically, Apple has a system called Gatekeeper. Gatekeeper performs online checks to verify if an app contains known malware and whether the developer's signed certificate is revoked. So you have to have a signed certificate by Apple to have an app on the Mac. It says, we have never combined data from these checks with information about Apple users or their devices. We do not use data from these checks to learn what individual users are launching or running on their devices. In addition, Apple is making changes to security checks over the next year, specifically a new encrypted protocol for developer ID certificate revocation checks, strong protections against server failure, and a new preference for users to opt out of those security protections. So the Jeffrey Paul blog post was pretty damning. And he says, it turns out in the current version of Mac OS, the OS sends to Apple a hash of each unique identifier of each and every program you run when you run it. Lots of people didn't realize this because it's silent and invisible, and it fails instantly and gracefully when you're offline. But today the server got really slow and it didn't hit the fail fast code path, and everyone's apps failed to open if they're connected to the internet. Because it does this using the internet, the server sees your IP, which Apple says they're masking, and knows what time the request came in. An IP address allows for, of course, C-level, ISP-level geocache. Of course, they can anonymize it after they examine the data. So Apple can know when you're at home, when you're at work, when your apps are open there, and how often. So he goes into quite a bit of discussion about what this does and what it, and of course, it's been doing for a while. So just be aware, okay? Amazon launches Game On, a new app for mobile gaming. Mobile gamers can use Game On to share in-game recordings and more. So if you're a mobile gamer, you now have a way to share the stuff that you do on your mobile gaming apps and so forth. So it's called Game On, again from Amazon. Apple and Verizon are going to hold an iPhone 12 event for businesses on November 19th. I will say that I did get the iPhone 12, and it's a nice phone. The upgrade was pretty smooth, but you have to get a 5G chip, 5G SIM card from Verizon in order to unlock all 5G features. So just if you just swap your current SIM card, which most people do when they upgrade their phone, just be aware that it's going to be a little bit of a challenge if you are, you'll have to go get a new 5G chip. I've got it, but I need to call Verizon and have them, you know, do the swap over and have it, the number move to that new chip. So anyway, they're having an event for businesses and talking about the benefits and so forth of being on 5G if you have it in your area. Keywords, if. There's a great article, 7 Easy Windows 10 Tweaks That'll Make Your PC Feel Like Home. And Windows 10 Tweaks for the Start Menu. They've got stuff for limiting notifications, taskbar tweaks. They got stuff about animated windows and backgrounds, making Windows 10 colorful with tweaks. So productivity boosting gadgets in Windows 10. So anyway, I'll have this link all in the show notes for you to go over for those of you that are Windows users in the audience. NASA's talking about a radical liquid mirror moon telescope. Yes, I said that. Say that 5 times real fast. Radical Liquid Mirror Moon Telescope. It's a spinning vat of reflective liquid in a moon crater. Well, they're talking about it. They want to build a telescope on the moon. Of course, we've got the delayed James Webb Space Telescope that hasn't launched yet. But a team of astronauts at the University of Texas Austin have revisited the concept for a liquid mirror telescope on the moon. It would be able to see very, very, very deep into the cosmos and go back to the very beginning because it just is dark enough. So interesting discussion by what they're thinking. I can't even imagine what that would cost. Also, a small asteroid came close to Earth, closer than the SpaceX Starlink satellites. So it's the closest astronomer has ever seen a space rock soar by without smacking into our planet. It came within 240 miles of Earth's surface on Friday. That's closer than objects in low Earth orbit, of course. And they didn't see it until the last minute. Don't know how big it was, but it got pretty close up in our grill. I guess that's the word here. Just a lot of dynamics going on to passing in the night safely. Congratulations to SpaceX and Crew One being able to get to the International Space Station. They brought with them a baby Yoda for the zero gravity deal. So the baby Yoda flew with them. And so congratulations to SpaceX for their flight. And I missed the actual launch. And but there's ongoing coverage at on SpaceX.com. Last I checked, the crew was in a sleep mode. I'm thinking they've docked already. Again, I'm not. They were at sleep mode when I checked in. But again, congratulations to putting four astronauts up to the International Space Station. Google will soon let you opt out of Gmail's data-hungry smart features. Yep, that's one another article that Kirk found. I'll have that up in the show notes. Also, Jeff Bezos announced the first beneficiaries as a $10 billion climate fund. He's going to give $800 million to about 16 organizations. These are established environmental organizations. $800 million out of his $10 billion fund that he's promised. HBO Max is coming to Amazon Fire TV. So this is finally, it's coming. It's about time HBO and Amazon play nice. And so we'll see here. More the service, now service, and where HBO Max would be available will be available on the Fire TV. So don't know exactly what the dynamics there were, the politics, and why it didn't get on track. Virgin Galactic delays next space flight due to tougher COVID-19 rules. There are no new dates set. Basically, CNBC reports that Virgin has definitely delayed the Spaceship 2 test flight scheduled for this week after New Mexico instituted new guidelines to deal with the surge. Company chief Michael Cole Glazer said that his firm would minimize New Mexico operations to the greatest degree possible with the health and safety of our staff in mind. Virgin was ready to take the postponement in stride and would announce a new test schedule as soon as we can. Doesn't slowing SpaceX down. They're running hard, right? CVS now accepts QR code payments from PayPal and Venmo. So if you use PayPal or Venmo, again, you can do a QR code payment. Not exactly how sure that works. Visit 8200 CVS locations and you can display a QR code in the PayPal or Venmo apps to pay using credit cards, including Venmo's debit card, PayPal credit, bank accounts, or existing balances. You only have to tap scan and choose a show to pay option. You won't pay fees and you still get CVS Extra Care rewards for your purchase. Just, you know, what's wrong with sticking your credit card in the credit card machine? You're not touching anything else and pulling it out. Don't get it. The ransomware landscape is more crowded than you think. More than 25 ransomware as a service portals are currently renting ransomware to ongoing criminal groups. So, it goes into a whole list of stuff that's going on, and they're tiered. Different tiered hacks, different cost, but shouldn't come as a surprise. The underworld is working and making money using all these tools that deny people of their livelihood when they attack businesses for a ransom. Electrify America rolls out a plug-and-pay charging system. The 2021 Porsche Taycan and Lucid Air among the first plug-and-charge EVs. So Electrify America is looking to simplify the payment processes as charging station. The company's rolled out a system called plug-and-charge, but can automatically take care of payments when you connect a compatible electric vehicle. They have more than 500 charging stations across the United States with more than 2,200 individual chargers. Plug and charge now available at all those chargers ahead of compatible EVs hitting the road. And I guess the new Ford Mustang Mach-E is going to be supported as well. That's still a problem. If you think about it, only only 2,200 chargers out there. And how many electric vehicles are we getting on the road? There's just not enough electric charging stations. It's just not enough. Unless you just go from home to work, home to work. Tesla is reportedly ending sales of the special order 35,000 Model 3. The company won't let you downgrade the new 2021 refresh to make it cheaper. So the days of a $35,000 Tesla are behind us. So you will pay more than $35,000. The only way you could get a $35,000 Model 3 was to have made the call back in 2019 to order and store over the phone. So Tesla has told all of its dealers, no more $35,000 sales. Twitter's named famed hacker Mudge as head of security. So I don't know about this guy, but Peter Zatko, widely known as by his hacker handle Mudge, has attained the new position of head security, giving him a broader mandate to recommend changes in structures and practice. He answers to CEO Jack Dorsey and is expected to take over management of key security functions after a 45 to 60 day review. So he's going to come in, observe, listen, watch. When he takes over, watch out. Zoom. Hey, Toby, how you doing? Oh, Toby says, Crew 1 docking with the International Space Station at 11 p.m. Eastern today. Oh, that's good. So they're still on route. Oh, thank you for the update. Zoom adds additional security to fend off trolls. Hosts can suspend meetings while they deal with a disruptive user. They've made it so hard to get into Zoom meetings now. I would be shocked if anyone is able to scam their way into a meeting. They've layered it so much, it's annoying. Hulu is going to increase live TV bundle by $10 a month. It'll go in effect on December 18th. So if you have the live TV bundle, the price will start at $65 a month. The no ads version of Hulu with live TV will be $71 a month. So just be aware, the price is going up. NVIDIA, whoo, doggies. NVIDIA's latest boy, I've got some science friends. They're probably going to go crazy about this thing. And I know who's going to be the customers of this. NVIDIA's latest desktop workstation has 4 80 gigabit GPUs. It's called the DGX Station A100. Now, I've talked about on this show before the power of GPUs. And again, for just to give an example, I was told at one time some technology would take 10 more years to get the technology to a point where it could be put in a box. This was from a discussion I was, and this is basically a multi-server system, multiple racks of gear being able to put in one box. And I was told at that time it would be 10 years. Well, when NVIDIA introduced GPUs a few short years later, what was going to take 10 years took 3. And GPUs, from a science standpoint and processing standpoint, are very incredible. Scientists can do incredibly heavy lifting, incredible is the amount of calculations, processing. All I will say is, GPUs are bringing a data center to a computer. So if you imagine your desktop, one of these desktops is the equivalent of some of the most modern data centers that exist today. Because the technology has moved so fast with GPUs, it's making science and all kinds of things possible in a box. Now, this is not cheap. This is something that a national lab or the military or someone like, you know, some big company that has heavy scientific data processings would buy. $199,000. But if you compare that to have to running data center space, this thing is a monster. The GX Station A100 doesn't make its data center siblings obsolete, though NVIDIA announced today that the standard DGX A100 will be sold with its new 80 gigabit GPU, doubling memory capacity to 640 gigabits per system. An upgrade option would be available for customers who already have purchased the DGX A100 with 40 gig A100 cards. NVIDIA hasn't closed any pricing for the new enterprise-grade hardware, but again, the original was $199,000. And it does. It's going to make scientists' jobs pretty awesome to have your own basically high-powered processing system right in your desk. It's really, really awesome. Science is, and what's going on here is really amazing. I just can't emphasize enough how incredible what NVIDIA has done here with GPUs. It changes everything. It really, really does. And from a military standpoint, all I can say is fantastic, and I hope we have export controls on these bad boys and don't allow the Chinese to own them. The best fitness gadgets for the athlete in your life, help them reach the next level. There's some gifts here. And I don't know if these are paid promotions, but talks about athlete mask, Apple Watch Series 6, Garmin Forerunner 245, Amazon Fitbit S, the Powerbeats Pro, the Jabra Elite Active 75T, just goes on to a whole bunch of stuff for those of you that are at the gym working out and need to track stuff and be cool. So link will be up in the show notes. Samsung has launched a new all-in-one type monitor, and the company believes it can serve more than one purpose. In the work-from-home era, the device, simply called the Smart Monitor, is at its core a Tizen-powered smart TV with PC capabilities. It's the brand's first smart TV with built-in Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, and wireless DeX capability. The monitor is also AirPlay 2 compatible, allowing you to share media like videos, photos, and music from AirPlay devices like an iPhone, iPad, and Mac. You can use the device as a traditional monitor. You can use it to view, edit, and save Office 365 applications to cloud without having to connect it to a PC or a laptop. And if you have a Galaxy Note 20, though, you can turn it into a computer via the wireless DeX feature. So it goes on and on here. So it sounds like a pretty cool monitor. Don't know what the size of it is, though. How much does it cost? Does it say? Oh, you can get the starting from $230 to $280, and the M7 Ultra model will be about $400 in December. And so maybe it's time for a new monitor. Maybe get a 2-in-1. Capcom hack: up to 350,000 people's information was stolen. Video game maker Capcom has warned a ransomware attack might have compromised gamers' personal information. Of course, the Japanese developer is best known for franchises such as Resident Evil, Street Fighter, and Monster Hunter. So, they confirmed its server has been hit by an attack on November 2nd. So, they haven't exactly said what all has been lost, but apparently something. Chevrolet has recalled the Bolt EV after 5 confirmed battery fires. Call your dealer to schedule a software patch, available from November 17th. So, if you have a Chevy Bolt EV, I had a buddy that had one. He loved that car. I must admit, it's a pretty nice vehicle. He had older now, number of years. But anyway, if you have a Chevrolet Volt, be aware there is a recall. Broadband power users explode, making data caves more profitable for ISPs. So the number of broadband power users, people use over 1 terabyte a month, has doubled over the past year, ensuring ISPs will make money from data caps. In quarter 3, 2020, 8.8% of broadband subscribers use at least 1 terabyte of per month. Of course, all the kids are home, up from 4.2% in quarter 3. OpenVault is a vendor that sells data usage tracking platform to cable, fiber, and wireless ISPs. The 8.8 and 4.2 figures refer to U.S. customers only. So, of course, everyone's been given a temporary break from data caps. Customers at Comcast and other ISPs got a break for a few months this year. But currently, AT&T is scheduled to reimpose data caps on fiber to the home and fiber to the node customer on January 1st. Comcast did raise its monthly cap from 1 terabyte to 1.2 terabyte on July 1st. So not all terabyte users have to pay overage charges. Comcast also lowered the price of unlimited data from $50 to $30 a month, or $25 for customers who lease an xFi gateway. AT&T imposes monthly data caps of 150 gigs on DSL, 250 gigs on fixed wireless, and 1 terabyte on its faster wireless service. So 2 terabyte users are also on the rise. We shouldn't even be talking about bandwidth anymore. Apple's iOS ad tracking targeted by European privacy campaigner. Max Schrems, S-C-H-R-E-M-S, says that the iOS identifier for advertiser is unlawful. So they're going after from GDPR stuff. And so we'll see what happens here. I did get an email from someone, and I just copied it real quick into the email folder, because it's Todd, I'm sure you're going to cover this. This is from Dave. Hey, Todd, I assume you already, this is already on the list, but I thought this one may be of interest to you. And let me open it up. And it's basically says, this comes from a website called The Points Guy. Boom's supersonic jet could one day fly the President of the United States. The U.S. Air Force has already locked plans in for a pair of Boeing 747Es intended to fly future President of the United States, expensive project. The manuals alone come at an $84 million price tag. And let me explain why. You don't buy the manuals, you have to pay to access them. So any government contract, you have to buy the manuals. You would think it would come with the car. It doesn't. If you don't buy them, then you pay heavily for access through tech reps who will print you one piece of information at a time. So while the President most travels on board a Boeing VC-25, which is 747, they feel that at some point, Boom's jet, which I'm not really familiar with, Boom's supersonic jet could be used for the President. We will see. But anyway, thanks for that article. Thanks for that link. We'll make sure we get that up in the show notes. All right. If you have any other comments about today's show, it's real simple. It's real simple here. All you got to do is email me. Geeknews@gmail.com is the email address. Geeknews@gmail.com. Tim says, better have Cairo cooling for the system. Oh, yeah, that GPU unit. Yeah, I'm thinking it's going to have some serious cooling. But, you know, if it's sitting in a lab someplace, minus 50 already. Yeah, I'm sure it's got its own cooling, but I can imagine that bad boy will be hot. Don't think we'll fit that one in a 19-inch rack, Tim. But we sure damn well try, won't we? All right. A little internal joke there. So, bada bing, bada boom. Geeknews@gmail.com is the email address. Geeknews@gmail.com. At Geeknews, my Twitter account. Feel free to ping me. We'll be back Thursday with another show. And I'm just going to be frank. This cold weather sucks. I am not yet, and it's not even cold yet, from freezing. Absolutely freezing. Got the heat up in here to about 73 degrees, 74 degrees, just because I'm just sitting here and I'm trying not to overdress, because then I'm going to be too hot, and that's always a problem. But I think I'm having, I don't know, did I complain this much last year? I maybe I did. I'm just a crybaby. So, all right, everyone, thanks for being here. Again, become an insider, geeknewscentral.com/insiders, the place to go. You can contribute to the show, $2, $5, $10, $15, $20, or $25 a month. And we do want to thank all of our insiders for their ongoing sustaining contribution. It is greatly, greatly appreciated. Thank you very much. All right. And I did have one donation come in at $100. I don't know. We're trying to figure out if it was for this show or for the new media show. If you contribute $100 to the show, please email me your information so I can thank you personally on the show. Again, everyone, thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the Ohana. We'll see you next time here on the Geekness Central Podcast. Everyone, take care. Bye-bye.